Is there life after catastrophe? Yes, there is. Lots of people are hurting out there that have had bad things happen, because bad things do happen to good people. And today I'm going to talk about that, plus much more, on Truth to Ponder.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman today. And I have a very special episode of Truth to Ponder today.
Well, I want to start out by saying Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I know that I'm a day early, but that's okay. I can say Happy Thanksgiving. We have an awful lot to be thankful for. We have an awful lot to be watching out for, though. And so as you are celebrating this Thanksgiving holiday, make sure that you stay safe. I would like to give you a few things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for you, the listener. Does that sound corny? Well, maybe it does, but do I mean it? You can bet your life I mean it. Thank you so much. Without you, the listener, there's no reason for me to be here. And this is my 128th episode on Truth to Ponder. And I spent a lot of hours editing and putting these shows together, and I know that Bob Bierman does it 4 more times each week than I do, so he spends massive amounts of time. And I'm thankful for Bob Bierman and his dedication to not only his ministry, but also to his listeners. And I'm extremely thankful that Bob Bierman has taken me under his wing, and he's really been wonderful to work with. He's so easy to work with and to try to just relate to. He's just a regular guy that's just wonderful. And so I'm very thankful for Bob Bierman. And of course, the real meaning of Thanksgiving is to be thankful to our Heavenly Father. Everything that we have or ever will have, everything that we are or ever will be, is because of our Heavenly Father. And I hear some people say, Happy Turkey Day. Well, you know, it kind of may sound cute once in a while, but you kind of lose the whole spirit of the event. And I want to take time during this Thanksgiving to give thanks to my Heavenly Father for everything that He's done for me, everything that He's going to do for me, and just making my life complete. I know that one of the highlights of my day is I end each day with listening to some scripture on the radio. There's some really good teachers out there that I've been listening to, and Bob Bierman is definitely one of them, that we can learn an awful lot about our Heavenly Father and His plans, not only for the world, but for us. And I know that the world is not in good shape this Thanksgiving holiday. There's an awful lot to be worried about. But I don't think we should live in a spirit of fear. I don't think we should be worried. I think we should be concerned. But I think that we need to remember that our Heavenly Father is in control 24/7. There's nothing too big, nothing too vast, nothing too hard for the Creator of the universe to handle. And I'm so thankful that we do have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And I'm thankful for Jesus, who died for us and gives us a reason. I know that if I did not have my faith, I would have to ask myself, what is the reason for me doing anything? But I do have my faith, and so I do get up every day feeling I have a purpose and a reason. And before I get started on the meat of the show, I want to thank everyone who writes me or emails me. I do appreciate it. I'm starting to get quite a few letters in the mail, and I do read each one, and I read each email. I respond to everyone that I can, but I do want to let you know that I don't mind getting letters. That's a highlight of my day, is to get a letter. So And you can email me very easily through Truth to Ponder if you email Bob at truthtoponder.com, and he'll simply forward that email to me. Again, folks, happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you enjoy this show.
I want to talk about rubber meets the road issues that we all have to face. Anyone who has went through trauma or went through loss or catastrophe always has questions. And one of the questions that people ask themselves is, can I survive this? And the Bible does tell us, this too shall pass. And the Bible also tells us, fear not. And so that's where I'm going to start the program, is with those two thoughts in mind, that we should not live in a spirit of fear, and that if we rely on our personal Lord and Savior, then we can work things out with the blood of Jesus. Lots of times we can't do it ourselves, but we are more than conquerors. Never forget that, and never forget the power of the blood. And today I have a very special guest. I have Barb Dvorak, and she is a survivor. She's went through many catastrophes and many things in her life that she's had to overcome. And through it all, she seems to have found that relying on her faith will get her through. And Barb, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here.
That's good. Well, I'm glad that you were able to make the time to be on Truth to Ponder, because I get a lot of emails and regular mail. People are kind of scared out there, and there's a lot of people who are hurting. A lot of people that don't know if they have what it takes to get through hard times, and you had to find that out personally, didn't you?
Absolutely. And God, first of all, will just get you through anything. It wasn't 2013. I was in a head-on collision with my husband, and I knew before the other vehicle hit us that he was not going to survive. And I was just telling Jim that the thought ran through my mind that I was going to have to raise my son alone now. And I started praying our Father, and everything was just like in slow motion. I did not get hurt except for a few bruised ribs. But my husband, of course, I lost him, but I hit a wall, but yet I knew God was going to be there to see me through this. My son was 14 at the time, and he helped me tremendously. Then 5 months later, I had a surgery on my foot, non-related to the accident, that I had to have my right foot amputated. That was just 5 months after the wreck. I was in the hospital for a week and in a nursing home for about 2 weeks. And Jim came in and said, I would like for you to come do a show with us. You won't have to do anything but sit there and sing. And I kept saying, no, I don't want to play any music anymore. And another friend of ours, Doug Powers, came in every night the same week. And I could hear God just saying, one more time, just one more time. So we did. At that time, I was just mad. I was angry. I wasn't mad at God. I was just angry at the situation. But Jim got me through a lot of it, because he just introduced me, and I walked out on stage with my crutches and sit down, and he proceeded to tell everybody my new leg was named Peggy and how I got it and what happened, and that just got me right over everything without having to worry about anything.
Well, you were afraid to be judged.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault you had medical issues, and I guess I should have told everyone that you're a wonderful singer, a wonderful musician, and that's been your profession your entire adult life. And anybody who's a performer can relate to this, and I've got to be honest, it's harder to be a female than a male and be a performer, because females are always held to a higher standard, a standard of excellence, a standard of beauty, a standard of... A female performer can't get old. A male performer can, but when a female gets old, they get less demand. It's not fair, but it's the way it is. And you are well aware of that with, and now with the peg leg.
Mm-hmm.
And happened to walk with crutches, and, you know, you were still pretty unsteady on it. You were pretty self-conscious, weren't you?
Yes. I think people thought I didn't think anymore after I lost my leg. I couldn't think anymore.
People get strange, and that's why I wanted to kind of push you out of the nest and put you back in the real world and know that people still loved you for who you are. And that's one thing that we should always remember, that God created us to be us, and He loves us for who we are. He might not love everything we do. I know He does not love our sins, but yet He still loved us enough that He sent His only Son to die for us. What I'm so impressed with you, I've always been impressed with you musically and as a person, but as a survivor, you could have folded the tent, and you didn't. And it's interesting to know that you already had a thought while the accident was happening that you knew you were going to raise your son. That had to be really hard. It had to be tough. And I knew your late husband. He was a nice man, wonderful man. He was your mentor and your friend and your husband. Also your bandmate. You had a duo. You performed together. And so your life was not only lost your husband, but you lost your occupation. You lost your friend. You lost your mentor. You lost everything that was really dear to you at that moment. And yet you hung with your faith.
It was a chaplain at the hospital. After I had gone to the nursing home, he came to visit me. And I told him I was upset. I was mad, angry, but not mad at God. And he said, God wants you to use this as your testimony to other people that there is life after death.
And that is why you're on Truth to Ponder today, is to help give encouragement to those out there that might be amputees. We have all sorts of people that listen to Truth to Ponder. It never ceases to amaze me, the sheer intelligence and the wonderful people that listen to this show, and the responses that I'm getting, the letters I'm getting, and the letters that and emails that Bob Bierman gets. There are so many wonderful people. I know a lot of people would curse God. They would say, God, why did you do this to me? But you never did that.
No.
Never even crossed your mind.
No, never. Never once. I just felt it was something I had to go through in order and keep my faith and to prove my faith.
When you started getting back to being your old self, which you're never going to be totally, but when you started getting some inklings that things were coming back, what went through your mind when things started to, the music started to come back around, and you were able to get along with your new artificial leg? And
well, I
tell me the process of that.
Yeah, the gal that brought me home was one of my good friends. Brought me home from the retirement home, and the first thing she said to me when she brought me home was, oh, good, we can call you Peggy now, which at the time was not a good thing. I've learned to live with it, and the prosthetic that I have is named Peggy, and my prosthetist, don't say that three times.
Okay.
He more or less told me, you can have a good attitude about this or a bad attitude, and it will show whether how much I want to work with you. And so I just decided I'd have fun with it.
What a wonderful bit of advice. What a wonderful professional. You are blessed to have that.
Yes.
Now, when I had my horrific wreck, and I was bedridden for 18 months. I mean, I couldn't move at all for about 8 months. And all I could do was lay there and watch the ceiling fan. I couldn't watch TV because I had a brain injury, and the flickering of the TV just, I couldn't watch television because the flickering was hurting my mind. I can't explain it, but it was like drinking poison or putting razor blades underneath my fingernails. I mean, it hurt. It physically hurt my brain to watch TV. But I could watch a ceiling fan. And so that was on low. And so for months, I laid there and watched the ceiling fan. And I was thinking. And I got a spirit of peace with myself and said, okay, you're a new you. And you're going to have to be your own best friend. You're going to have to cut yourself a break like you would a friend. And you're going to have to not compare yourself the way you used to be, because that person no longer exists. You have a new reality. And I was able to come to kind of a peace. Did you have that same
yes.
type of moment?
Yes. Yeah. You turn the corner and this is now what the world is and you got to deal with it.
Right. Do you have any advice for anyone that is struggling with life changes that they just can't get a handle on?
My late husband used to ask me when I would get worried about things or upset about things. He'd say, where's your faith, girl? And I always ask myself, are you safe? Are you safe at this moment that you're anxious? Because you know as well as the anxiety and the panic attacks come with all that PTSD. But it's you have to ask yourself if you're safe and then just realize that God is with you all the time.
Yeah, I agree. And so you suffered from PTSD.
Oh, yeah.
And I did as well. And with me, it's noises behind me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not as bad as I was, but for years, if a dog would bark behind me or someone would slam a book or shut a car door or something, literally my heart would stop. I mean, I was just terrified. And I would jump and I'd have to catch my breath. And it's no fun, is it?
No, it's just things you have to get used to.
Are you over your PTSD?
No. No.
I'm about 60 or 70% over it. But lately, and I don't know if it's because of world events, I'm not quite sure. But lately, I seem to be seeing things in my peripheral vision. And it's like I'm anxious. It's like I'm looking for something or waiting for something. And it's really been happening out in the field. Yes, I'm still putting up hay, guys. It's November, I know. But I have
it's
to learn.
It's been nice.
but I have to learn the word no. Every time someone sees me out there trying to finish, they come up and say, can you do mine? And I'm saying, it's November. Hay season's over. Then I tell them yes, and I'll do it. But anyway, when I'm in the field, lots of times when I'm raking or baling, I have to turn and look real quick because I think I see something and I don't know what that is and that's bothering me. I don't know if that's PTSD or what that is. That's the only symptoms I've been having. And of course, nothing's there and I don't feel anxious. It's just, I have to look.
Triggers for me as well.
Yeah. We both had automobile accidents. Mine was a pit maneuver from behind and I never saw anything. I remember the sound. I was never knocked unconscious, and so I remember the whole thing. And I'm going to ask you, were you conscious through your whole?
Yes, but it was like we rolled about two or three times, I think, but it was like in slow motion. I remember saying, Our Father who art in heaven, and remember it slowly, but at the time, I was just racing right through it.
Well, you went to the refuge. You went to the right place. It sounds like you were so deeply rooted in faith before this happened that you automatically cried out to your Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about your growing up and how you acquired such faith. That's amazing.
Well, when I was young, I used to play outside and I would hear my name being in the trees, in the wind. And I would be out there by myself, playing with my little dollhouse and everything. And I just felt peace at that time. And then the second time really came to me when my dad was passing away. I asked to be saved and sit and waited for it to happen, you know. But it was such a overpowering thing when the Holy Spirit came into me, when I asked him to come in that night. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning when my dad passed away, but it was about midnight. And I remember sitting, reading the Bible, sitting beside my mom while she was trying to get some sleep. That overwhelming power and that peace was just like, it's going to be okay. It's okay.
Well, I tell you, that's a good testimony in itself. But you ask the Holy Spirit to come in and just envelop you? Is that what you're
saying? Yes,
telling
you? Okay. Yes.
Well, the Holy Spirit is just wonderful. I mean, to me, the whole God experience, when it's real, when you know that it's real, and it's not something you're just telling people you're a Christian or telling people you believe. It's when you know that you know that God has a hand in your life and He's guiding your life. And the way it's best described is a relationship, a personal one-on-one relationship. And I feel sorry for those that do not have that.
Yes.
But a lot of people that I know that have called themselves Christians through my whole life, it's not for me to judge, but does they buy their fruits, you'll know them. And their fruits didn't line up with what they were saying. But when people are walking the walk as well as talking the talk, and that personal faith and that relationship, there's nothing like it. I can't even describe it, but it's just super wonderful, and it sounds like you have the exact same.
When it happens, it happens. Yeah. There's no denying it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And having a Heavenly Father that loves us and cares for us and knew us before we were born. And I'm really big on telling people on this program that we're here for a reason. We're not here by chance. We're not here because we came. I like to quote, I can't remember who used to say this back in the 80s, "Goo to you by way of the zoo." And I don't feel like I'm goo from the zoo. I feel like I'm a child of God, and I know that God created us, and we're not just out of chance.
I feel like it's part of the Great Commission.
Exactly. And how did you get involved with music, and how was that instrumental in your life?
Well, I was probably 7 years old when I sang on stage the first time, and it was for a fundraiser in little old Tryon, Nebraska.
Oh, the whole county.
Yeah,
the first county has what? 300 people in the county?
Yeah.
And Tryon has what, about 50 people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, you get the big time.
I know. And my mom didn't know anything about it. My dad did. My sister had taken me aside, and we was singing Paper Roses, and I just thought I was hot stuff, man. I got up there, and I didn't get nervous or anything, and looked down, and my mom's just crying, my dad's crying. I'm like, that's what I want to do.
So you got the bug early.
Yeah.
In Tryon, Nebraska. Sorry to all 50 people that live in Tryon. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you.
It was good times back then. Art Daly and the Buckaroos were the backup band.
Oh, yeah. I imagine. Was that the Heart Fund?
Yeah.
You know, they used to have that every year. That was a big thing.
The Heart Fund
in McPherson County.
Cool gym would be packed.
Do they do that anymore?
No. It's been early 80s that they quit doing it.
That's too bad. Well, that's another thing I talk about in Truth to Ponder is we're losing our society, and things that are good and wholesome are just going away, being replaced with, in my opinion, just horrible, counterproductive type of things, from our school system to a lot of the churches are even getting into the wokeness, and it's getting hard to find a body of believers that actually do believe. And I know that might offend some. I'm not trying to be offensive. It's just there's some country club churches out there, and there's also some churches out there that they're so bent on their man-made doctrine that they're not looking at the Bible as they're not looking at a relationship as something that is real and vibrant. It's something that they just talk about, but they never experience. And again, I really feel sorry for those that don't have that experience. Do you have any advice for anyone to help them gain that experience if they're ones that are struggling with their personal relationship?
Keep it simple.
That's a good answer.
Keep it simple. Don't try to put as much stuff in there. God will let you learn as you're able to release your mind to Him And if you start putting a bunch of stuff in there that you don't understand, it's not really going to do any good. So just keep it simple.
The magic word is surrender, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. Proverbs, listen to, you know, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. And
yeah, I really think that you're right on you're hitting it dead on, that we have to keep it simple. And it's not rocket science. I know a lot of people like to get into the theology and the theory, and they want to get into the nuts and bolts to where they don't even look at the thing as a whole unit. They look at a nut and a bolt. They don't see the whole picture. Uh-huh. And the whole picture is beautiful, and the whole picture is so wholesome. And I'm going to break away from Barb here and talk about a couple of things. I'm going to bring Barb back, though, because I have some more questions for you. Is that okay, Barb?
Yes, sir.
That sounds good. I'm going to talk about world events. And it seems that that's something I can't get away from. But every time I do my research and I study, I find more atrocities. And like Paul Harvey used to say, man's inhumanity to man. I just think that we all need to pray against the genocide that's happening and the warmongering. I don't know how to say this other than just Satan is running amok, and we need to stand up as a body. Christ is not coming back for a splintered group of denominations. He's coming back for one bride. And the Bible is very clear, let nothing divide us. And right now, everything is dividing us, and it's the old divide and conquer that Satan uses at every turn. And whether it be politics, or whether it be our society, or whether it be our faith, whether it be our job, it doesn't make any difference right now. There's a division. And we need to all pray for unity, and we need to come together. That's one thing that all my studies are really leading me to believe, that there is safety in numbers, there's strength in numbers. And I do realize that the remnant's small. And if you want to compare this with the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, how many people were saved on the ark? Not many. Very, very few people lived through that ordeal. And the Bible's very clear that in the end times, it's going to be as in the days of Noah. And I really think that the believers need to come together. And I do feel that worldwide there is a gathering of the remnant. And as I stated before on earlier shows, I'm not sure if I'm part of the remnant. I pray that I am. That is up to God and not up to me. But I do want to work for the kingdom of God to try to help in every way I can. And there's something that I think that we all need to do is we need to not be of the world. I know that I've said that on several episodes, that we need to be in the world but not of the world. But as the world falters, and actually society is kind of stumbling around like it's punch drunk, and I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of this new world order. I don't want any part of this new society. I don't want any part of the wokeness, all the confusion and all the chaos. I don't want no part of any of this. All I want to be a part of is the kingdom of God. I think that that is a good plan for all of us, is to pay attention to the big picture. And the big picture is the kingdom of God. It's not what man does here on this earth. I think that even though it's evil and it's atrocious, it really has no staying power as compared to the kingdom of God. That's where I try to put my thoughts and my efforts. And before we get to the second half of Truth to Ponder, I would ask that you consider donating to this ministry. It's because of your generous donations that we're able to bring you Truth to Ponder. And Bob Bierman is growing not only this ministry, but also the physical church. And he's got an awful lot of things that would be wonderful if you would partner with him, because he is truly doing God's work here. And I believe God has his hand on Bob Bierman's ministry. So pray about it, and if God puts it on your heart to help with this ministry, it's easy to do. All you have to do is go to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Click on the support tab and just follow the instructions. Or if you want to send it in by mail, you can send in a check or money order. You would write the check out to Ancient Word Radio. You would mail to Truth to Ponder, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Tourists on the Blue Planet. Coming up, Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, the nice Jewish boy, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving some very special gifts free in a moment. How can you tell tourists? Well, they generally have a look of awe about them, wonder. They have this tourist look. They're amazed. They're taking everything in. They're holding a camera, record everything. They're in awe over everything that we take for granted. I live in the region of the Statue of Liberty. And you see tourists come and they're in all of it. They have to go there. But you ask people in New York City or New Jersey what they think of the Statue of Liberty, chances are they haven't even been there their whole life. They lived their whole life, didn't bother ever going. It's right around the corner. They take it for granted. They're not tourists. Tourists take nothing for granted. They don't live there. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 that we are aliens, strangers. Yes, my friend, you're an alien, a legal alien or maybe an illegal alien, but you're an alien, not an alien just of America. You're an alien of the whole planet. We are aliens, meaning we are in this world, but not of it. We're of another world. We're not of this one. So you might be here, but it's not your home. Now, residents take everything for granted, but aliens never do. You're a tourist here. You're here on a mission. Therefore, we need to start acting a little bit more like tourists. I don't mean spend your life asking for directions or where the restrooms are, but take nothing for granted here. Give thanks for all parts of it. All of it's God's blessing, starting with the life, with the sunrise, the sunset, the air, the flowers, the fringe, the fellowship, the time God's given you on earth. Every blessing on earth, it comes from God. It's not forever. It's not something to take for granted. You're not a resident here. You're a tourist. So take nothing for granted. Thank God for the time he's given you here and give him praise. So get out your spiritual camera, your guidebook, and start praising God for all the blessings you may have taken for granted, because this life is only for a short season. In eternity, then it's gone. And you, my friend, happen to be a tourist on planet Earth. Want more? Ask for Aliens on Planet Earth on CD. Now, the free gift for you, The Mystery Hidden for 2,000 Years in the Sands of Israel, Better Than Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's true and real. The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. And Sapphires, your daily spiritual vitamins, wise for a victorious super walk with God. How do you get it? Free. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua. You dial it. So, to receive your free gift, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to minister with me, together bringing the good news back to the people who gave you the gospel, Israel and the unreached peoples of every tribe and tongue. It's amazing. Bless Israel, God's going to bless you. And the farthest way you can ever impact the world for the gospel is through Shortwave Radio. It's amazing. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. That's Box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Adon HaShamayim, the Lord of Heaven.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to the second half of Truth to Ponder. This is Jim Calhoun, along with Barb Dvorak, and we're sitting in for Bob Bierman today, and I really appreciate Barb sticking around. Thanks, Barb.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, this half of the show, I want to talk about society, and you seem to come from the same school I do, and that's you question everything as far as if man is involved. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. That was one thing I learned from my dad.
Well, I think that your dad was a very wise man. We have to really watch out because there's an awful lot of evil people. You know, when you're talking about the kind of injuries that you've had and amputation and the kind of issues I've had, it's hard to say the worst thing because it depends on really what right. You think at the moment, because there's a lot of worse things. But I'm going to see if you notice this. When I first started to be able to walk again, Inez was 3 years after the accident. Took over $25,000 of rehab to get me to be able to walk. And the hardest thing I ever did, and I imagine you could relate, the hardest thing I ever did was trusting my leg and taking that first step.
Yes.
It was terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I was just terrified because I was so broken, I didn't know if I could hold myself up. And one of the most liberating things I've ever felt is taking that first step. How long did it take you to take that first step on your peg leg?
Well, I remember telling my prosthetist that I don't care if I walk again. I just want to dance again.
Okay.
So, well, we got to get you walking first. So I walked out of his office on crutches, and when I got home and took that first step, like you said, just to see if I could do it. Nobody was around. I thought, if I fall on my face, I'm going to fall on my face. And I didn't. That same night, I went out after 9 o'clock in Stapleton, which is 300 people. Nobody's around. Got in my car and decided I'm going to learn how to drive with this thing. And I did.
Well, you've had the right attitude. But getting back to the people, one of the worst things that I noticed when I started to walk again, and of course I had to use a walker and a cane and had to have a lot of assistance that way. But people are terrified of people who are crippled.
Yes.
And I would be walking down a street and people a half a block away would start crossing the street to walk on the other side of the street.
They're going to catch it.
Oh, they're terrified. And that really did hurt my feelings because, you know, you're struggling, you're trying to get back into some semblance of normalcy, and people think you're a freak, and they're running from you. And then it dawned on me, all the villains in the movies are all cripples. You have the fugitive has a one-armed man, and you have the Disney movies with Captain Crook that's got, or Captain Hook, or whatever they call him, has the hook. And the James Bond villains are always in a wheelchair. They're crippled. And all the way through Hollywood, anyway, we're told or taught from a young age that crippled people are evil.
Evil and ugly.
Yeah. And the way people were running to, I mean, literally running to the other side of the street. And I'll never forget, I've always been critical of the kids that kind of just hang around with the skateboards and seem to be just loafing and not doing anything. Well, I finally started having a group of people that would actually cross the street towards me to help me open a door, get into a car, and they were all skateboarders.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And I think I know why. Because skateboarders spend half their time in the emergency room. And I think that they know what I was going through. Because they bust arms and legs and ribs and what have you. And the group that I was most critical of, because I thought they were just punks, ended up being the most, I would say, had the most human kindness.
Empathetic.
Yeah, of yeah. any group. And so God taught me a lesson there very much.
That's what I've found out is the adults have a hard time with my leg. It's the kids that are fascinated by it, but the adults are the ones that stare at it. And I just tell the kids it's a bionic leg and I can jump over buildings.
Okay.
But not today.
Yeah, not today. Oh, that's funny. So you have a more than a positive attitude. You're able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah, I think you have to.
You have to. That's another thing that this world is, I don't know why things have got out of control so much, so we have to feel like that we have to be perfect in the eyes of the world, and we have to be perfect in the eyes of them, because they might think something wrong about us. Well, who are they or them? I don't care about they.
Right. Children even know what's right and wrong, but they still will come up and help you before an adult will. Just like you were talking about the teenagers, you know.
I know there is hope in our youngsters. That's one thing I've always talked about on this show is taking care of the kids, because I think that we're commanded to do so. I think that's very biblical to take care of the children, but on a human type of a society aspect of it, they're our future.
Yes.
And if we want a decent future, as far as mankind made future that's not made by God but made by mankind, we have to rely on those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't train them up right, how can we expect them to be right?
Exactly.
So we have to do our part. Another thing that I noticed that, as an entertainer, I thought wrongly that I would get some more bookings and keep my career going. My career effectively died as far as the musical career with the accident. And I never missed a show, never missed a gig in 30-some years. And I was so proud of that. And then all of a sudden, I had to miss them all. And I had to cancel some really good jobs. I thought, well, after I get back on my feet, these same places will rehire me and everything will keep moving. And I had an entertainer that was a few years older than me came and talked to me and said, Jim, if you're expecting some sympathy gigs, forget it. Not going to happen. Your career's done. And when he told me that, I was kind of mad at him. I thought, wow, that's pretty harsh. You know, here I am trying to just get back in a saddle and he's shooting me down. No, he was bringing me down to earth. He was telling me what was really going to happen, and he was right. I would do conventions. They would come into my booth, and they would ask how I was doing, and I'd say, well, I'm doing all right, but I could sure use the support. If you're hiring, wanting a musical act, I'd like to come in and work for you. They'd say, oh, well, we're just afraid that you're not well enough. We're afraid that you might have to go to the hospital or have to cancel, so we can't hire you. And right when I needed the work, I was told by all of my, I thought, good friends in the business that actually were hiring, that no way were they going to hire me because they were scared. They were scared of someone crippled showing up and not being able to show up, I guess, is what they're scared of. And so I've had to overcome that. And it sounds like you've had the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How do you cope with that?
Well, I just let it roll off my back anymore. There's just so many things that, and I had the heart attack last year, and it's just that I have to.
Yeah, that heart attack was.
Just have to let it roll off my back now.
And you know, have my the faith listeners are probably wondering, heart attack? We mentioned that. Between me and Barb, as far as physically, I hate to say this, Barb, but we're both a mess.
Yeah.
We're just a mess.
But we're still going. God's got us going. He's not done with us.
Exactly. God's not done with us. And both of us could have given up. Both of us could have given up. Both of us could have basically cursed God and died.
Yes.
We could have done that. I don't think I had as strong a faith as you when I initially had my accident. I really don't. It sounds to me like you had a very good handle. I've always had faith, and I'm not trying to say that I was weak in my faith, but it sounds like you had.
It took a bit of realization.
With me, it did, for sure.
Until I opened the Bible and said, oh, okay, I'm so upset, I don't know what else to do.
In my opinion, God put that on your heart to come to Him. And that is something I say on the show all the time. That is our only place of refuge.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And people might say, well, as last resort, I'll pray about it. No, first resort.
Yeah.
That should be the first thing you should do. And never, ever underestimate God's love for you.
Absolutely.
And don't put limits on it yourself, because God is God. Let Him be God.
Yes.
You know, we can't say, well, God can't love me because I'm a sinner. Well, I got news for you. God did not send His only Son to save people that were not sinners.
Right.
And we're all sinners.
Right.
But Jesus died for sinners. He didn't die for church members. He died for sinners. For some reason, we kind of forget that.
Yes, and I was reminded of that when I was in the nursing home. It had nothing to do with the wreck, but there was, when I went to therapy, I had been there for a couple of days, and then one day I had just broke down in front of these older ladies that were in therapy. And they locked the door and said, what's all right, spill your beans. So I just told them the whole story, and they just kept supporting me with the love of Jesus Christ, that I didn't have to feel guilty about anything or anything that was gone on before, that this was a new life right now, and I have to keep going forward and telling my story.
Well, I have to say how impressed I am with, what facility were you in, by the way?
Centennial Park.
In North Platte, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
They're that big on faith?
Yes, it was very caring.
Well, I'm very impressed. How long were you in the nursing home?
2 weeks.
I was in the nursing home for so long in Denver that I thought I was going to have to change my residence. I was there for, almost 4 months.
Right.
And I missed an entire season. I went in spring, and I was there all summer, and I was able to get out in the middle of autumn, and I missed an entire season. I had wonderful care, but I didn't have the faith.
Oh, there's been times when I just sit and cry. You know, it's been a long time, but that summer after Roger passed, it just, there were times when I would just sit and cry, and I don't remember much about that summer, but family and God keeping everything going while I was trying to get myself back together.
Sounds like you went through quite a healing, though.
I think we're all healing.
I am on a daily basis, and I think that a lot of people listening could relate to that.
Yes.
It's kind of like that old song, God's Still Working on Me. Well, I think God's still healing, and he's still working on us that way as well.
Heal, learn, and grow.
And you have a sister that has the gift of healing.
Yes.
I would have to say that you have a very spiritually strong, is it in your entire family or just several?
Yeah, there's been things that's happened after my mom and dad passed away that has showed the family believes. I don't know how everybody else really feels, but it's just been so strong with me, and I do want to pass it on.
Right. We all have normal families to where you have the ones that want to believe and the ones that just won't believe anything, no matter what, you know, you tell them.
And it's okay. It's just
that's just the way it is.
We can only do what we can do, and then just...
Well, I'm going to throw some society questions at you, because I've been on this show for quite some time. This is show number 128.
That's great.
And Truth to Ponder. And I've got, I don't know how many shows of my own, and also the music show that I'm doing. So lots of shows. And so most people know my opinion. What do you think about where society is heading? What does your spirit say?
Just hold on. Be aware. Watch your back, be alert, and take care of yourself, and try to help, and the Great Commission, try to help other people, bring them to Jesus Christ, and let them know that they have been forgiven of their sins. All they have to do is believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's that easy, folks.
And so what you're saying is roll up your sleeves and get to work. And
that's right.
Watch your back.
And then, help whoever you can help, you know, but... Be using your discernment is the biggest thing.
Well, I think that we're from the same school all the way across, because my last show was all about helping others, and I talk about praying for discernment all the time, because the father of the lie is loose out there.
Oh, yes.
And you don't know, like if you're watching a video, is it something that's doctored? You know, I like to talk about movies and kind of use them as analogies from time to time. And there's an old movie, not a very good movie, but it was called The Running Man.
Mm-hmm.
And in The Running Man, they set up the main character, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I really don't care for politically. I don't line up with him at all. But as an actor, he was, well, I guess he was okay sometimes. But anyway, his character on this movie was framed. That they took some video and doctored it to make it look like he'd committed genocide when he was trying to stop genocide. If you watch that old movie, you could have a lot of connections as far as similarities with what we're going through today. And they can show us anything and say, here, look at this.
Oh, yeah.
And who knows? If
make an epidemic out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
I do see a lot of younger people that are, I don't know, it's probably half and half. They're paying more attention. It's those that I like to take my time and talk to.
So are you seeing kind of an awakening of some of the young kids?
I think so. I really do.
I'm glad you're seeing it.
I do.
I spend more time with cows and tractors. And so the cows and tractors, I'm not seeing any. They're not moving at all. They're just out doing what they do.
They have faith you'll feed them.
Yeah, they have faith I'll feed them. I'm glad you're seeing that kids are coming around. I pray that we have a great awakening because, in my opinion, and I'll ask you to critique my opinion, I feel that without God, I think as far as the world is concerned, I think we're done.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely.
I don't see mankind coming up with any solutions.
I think it's going to come, and it's my opinion as well, I think a great awakening is going to come from the elderly generation.
From the elderly and
into the kids.
Into the children.
Not the baby boomers, not the in-between, but the elderly. And elderly that have lived through the tough times like
that. So you're talking about real old because the baby boomers and, we're all kind of getting up
we're
there.
We're old, aren't we, Jim?
Yeah, we're kind of getting up there. So,
but
so
you're
talking about the generation before the baby boomers, which I've heard it described as a silent generation because they never had a president. Well, I'm glad that you're seeing some things out there because I'm not without hope because if you have Jesus in your heart, you have hope. But I'm talking about hope in society. I'm not totally without hope that good things can happen that man generates and comes up with. But it's so few and far between anymore. So I hope that you're correct. And I hope that we the people, and I'm talking about all the people all over the world who are just a common, ordinary person. We do have strength. We do have power. We just need to come together. And if we come together in prayer and come together, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to actually cause the Great Awakening.
Yes.
I pray that that happens. I really do. Well, I'm going to kind of touch on the music aspect again. You've always been a singer. Who has been your biggest influence?
Loretta Lynn, I think, is a big one. Patsy Cline. Just all the older great ones that persevered to plow the road for us.
So you're talking about country music.
Yeah, well, kind of everything. I'm kind of don't do the rap, that kind of stuff.
I can't even rap a Christmas present, so.
I like the older gospel and the Beatles and all that kind of stuff. I like a little bit of everything.
So you like music.
Yeah.
What is your favorite gospel?
Garden. Hymns.
You like hymns?
Yes.
I do too. Would you like to do that for us today?
I can do that.
Okay.
If you sing with me.
Okay. Well, now we're going to grab
We'll just do a cappella. We can.
Well, I'm going to get a guitar so we stay in tune. I'll just strum it. Well, Barb, I got my old guitar here, and I got to tell you a little bit about this ugly old guitar. I bought this guitar. Remember Ken Larson at the pawn shop?
Yes, yes.
Well, he charged me a whopping $25 for this guitar back about 40 years ago. And it's a Harmony Monterey from 1957. And it's in beautiful shape, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I just love it. It's got such character to it.
It has every scratch, and it has more scratch than it has paint.
But I'd love to hear the stories.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell.
And it's got, the neck is like a tree trunk. It's hard to play, but I love the guitar. And I'm going to strum this a little bit. And you want to do In the Garden?
Right.
And you don't mind me singing some harmony?
No, please do.
Okay. Well, we hope you enjoy our impromptu concert on Truth to Ponder.
I come to the garden alone. while the dew is still on the roses, and the joy I hear sounding in my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known.
Pretty.
Please. I messed a few words up.
That's all right. Well, I said this is impromptu. I hope everyone enjoyed that. Well, Barb, this has been a lot of fun, and we're at the end. And I try my hardest on Truth to Ponder to offer a very positive show. I hate to say this. I'm kind of telling on myself. But over the last month or so, I've been pretty hard-hitting because we have all the corruption and all the chaos and all the evil. And it's just... I hope the people enjoyed this talk about there is life after tragedy, there is life after all of this, there is hope, and we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, and I hope that people enjoyed what we did today, because what we tried to do is bring people just encouragement. Not everything has to be gloom and doom, folks, and I am so happy that you came today, Barb.
Thank you, Jim. I sure enjoyed it.
One thing we haven't talked about is self-healing, and I want to touch on that real quick. That's important, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And you have to cut yourself a break.
Yes.
Very much so. Do you have any parting advice?
I'd like to pray, if you don't mind.
By all means.
Father, thank you for bringing us today all together, and we just encourage anybody out there listening that don't give up. Don't give up. You're right here with us. And Jesus Christ is right here with us, and he's holding your hand. He's waiting for you to come to him. Come home. Come home. We are asking for healing to show up, for strength and peace, Father. Thank you. Let it be in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And I thank everyone for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed this program. And I would ask again that you consider donating to this ministry. It's easy to do. Just go to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Click on the support tab and follow the instructions. Or if you're old school and want to send it in by mail, you can send a check or money order to Ancient Word Radio. And you would mail to Truth to Ponder, but you'd write the check out to Ancient Word Radio. And the address is P.O. Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, Chilhowee, Chilhowee, Virginia, and the zip code is 24319. Well, Barb, thanks again. Thanks for coming. And until next time, everyone, stay safe, stay watchful, stay teachable. Stay positive, and never, ever forget. Replace fear with faith.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.